Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, King Herod was a genius builder. Well, of course, there's another side to him. He was bitterly jealous and ruthless in his relationship with his family. He killed his favorite wife and also two children because they seemed to be rivals to his power. He was ruthless. But he was a genius of an architect. In building, as a recent issue of the National Geographic illustrated abundantly, he was just magnificent. He had a fine eye for the best architects in that whole part of the world, and a sharp eye for the finest materials. He used huge blocks of stone brought in with back-breaking effort up into the city of Jerusalem to build the temple. They were fitted perfectly. Today, all you can see is the foundations, if you go to Jerusalem, just the foundations of the temple. And you can see the difference between the earlier Solomonic building with huge blocks, ashlar stones, and then the finer cut of stone that Herod had placed upon that foundation. I once thought about being an architect, as a matter of fact, personally. Thought about that because I've always been intrigued by stone and glass and those kinds of materials. Frank Lloyd Wright, odd as he was at times in his personal life, did some beautiful things. And then they said, you know, if you want to be an architect, you have to love math. Well, I got good marks, but I didn't like it, so I crossed that one off my list and went on to other things. But Herod was a magnificent builder. And no wonder people marveled at the building and its decoration that was just stunning. Jesus of Nazareth came along. He was also a builder, but a builder of a different sort. No matter what category we may choose to describe him, it never quite fits. And as a matter of fact, every successive age in history, every culture kind of picks out a label, and the label they give him seems to more reflect themselves than him, because he's bigger than any category. That's another conversation. But for some, he's a moral teacher. Well, he is, but he's more than that. For some, he's a mystic. He certainly is. In his human existence, a prophet, the developer of change, but he was a herald of the last age. That seems to be the best category that fits. One who announced God at work in this world, not to destroy it, but to bring it to perfection. He was a builder of the next age, a herald of the end time. And he insisted, Jesus did, that whatever didn't fit into the next stage would be destroyed. Not a single stone left upon another. Now remember, those were big stones. So when I hear that often, my mind thinks of bricks. No, no. 10 meters long, huge stones. And to say not one stone left upon another is pretty cataclysmic. And remember that by the time Luke wrote his gospel, this had already happened. The temple was already in ruins, and everyone concluded that the destruction was somehow part of God's judgment upon the whole world, that the end was at hand. Now, it strikes me, maybe all of us if you think about it a bit, that the disruptions and disasters listed in today's gospel, you heard them a moment ago, many of you have the page in your hand, those disruptions and disasters, they've always been present. They've always been present. The Katrinas of the world and the tsunamis, every age, volcanoes in Indonesia, famines and flooding in China, earthquakes in the U.S. Some 200 years ago, there was a massive earthquake in central or Midwest that went up the fault, and as a result, The Mississippi River changed its course. But they've always been around. I wake up every morning at 5:15 to BBC's World Report, news report, and every morning they're talking about some kind of disaster somewhere. And I say that not to trivialize it or any disaster, but rather to underscore the fact that they're perennially present. We had a seminary faculty member, Doc Johnson, we called him at St. Francis, who had come. He had been a chaplain in the First World War, and he'd come into breakfast every single morning and say, "Well, boys, is the war over yet?" And of course, there always would be some war. Always, unfortunately, it's a terrible thing, but that's the reality. The issue for Christian faith is, what do we mean by the last age? What do we mean? We, as Christians, are unique in our conviction that we are in the last age. That's part of our contribution to the religious sensitivity and truth of the world we live in. There are some among us who are of a more fundamentalist and literalist persuasion, who see these kinds of disasters as almost like a checklist. War in Nigeria, Middle East, Chechnya, check it off, because it's one more indication of being in the last stage. Chronological countdown of some sorts. Persons say things are bad, but they're going to get worse. And then they say they're going to get worse sometimes with a smile, because that's a sign the end is coming, and that's a good thing. So, but that's one approach, a countdown. And even the misguided, who think that provoking a disaster is helping bring God's victory into the world, that's one approach. And there are people who are saying the next deadline is 2012, so don't pay taxes beyond that, you know, just be sure. That's one approach. But you heard a moment ago that Jesus said such things must happen, but it will not immediately be the end. So we've got a different approach, we, particularly as Catholics, to the end time. It's not chronology, it's not a countdown of specific events, years through all sorts of disasters, but rather, and that's a human temptation, I think, to control things in some way, understand them. Our Catholic notion says the end time is one of quality, not chronology. It's like watching a chess game. For anybody who knows chess, and I'm not one of those, but watching a chess game when you know there's no way this can be won except by one person. That you know all the different moves are taken care of. And it might take 2 hours, depending on the quality, the strategy. It might take 2 hours, it might take 10 minutes. But you know the chess well enough to say, it's over. That's the kind of end time we're in. Or to say differently, people who are at a football game or a baseball game at the stadium, and at a certain point, they know the game well enough to say, there are not going to be any big surprises. Boys, it's over. Let's go to the parking lot and get out before the traffic jam comes. You know, that's the kind of end time that we're in. The conviction that it's not so many years, but this is the last stage, and God wins. God wins. In the meantime, the disasters around us and within our families or within our nation or within our world, provoked by evildoers or by natural kinds of forces and collision, they remind us of a few things. They teach us something, that our existence is really very frail, that we don't have much control over anything. The ambivalence of the human heart, which could be perverse and mean, but it also can be heroic and helpful. These disasters show us that some wonderful things can happen. I happened to be down in New Orleans just this past week for the annual meeting of the National Council of Churches. Never got out of the hotel because they kept us so busy, but they certainly did talk about the events of the last 5 years in New Orleans and the good things and the wonderful miracles that occurred out of human goodness and cooperation and generosity, and then some of the darker things that also happened. So these disasters give us some teaching. The frailty of existence, the ambivalence of the human heart, the dependence we have on one another, must have on one another. Living in the last stage, which Jesus builds in a very different way than Herod built, which Jesus builds with our cooperation, helps us to be humble, helps us to be faithful if we bring our faith to these events, help us to be generous, compassionate. It's the faith that we bring to the events that matters, that puts them in a context. And then I couldn't help but think about Job. When it was all over, Job said, "The Lord God gives, then the Lord God takes away. Blessed be the Lord forever." That's the message of the end time that we should never allow ourselves to forget.